I'd like to welcome everyone back. It's good to see you didn't shoot hooky during the break. I'm used to going searching for people. Yeah. We're used to finding people. We were going to send a search party to your offices. You going to run them out of the bathroom? All right, we're going to gather back up. We see a few more coming in. All right, how are we doing? Great. Everybody survive the first hour?
Yes.
Yeah. And I know you got some dynamic presentations.
Oh, yeah.
I can just feel it already. I can already feel it, just dynamic. And so it won't take you long. You can actually do your presentation from where you are. You don't have to come down front or anything, because you'll stand and you'll say, we believe a great coach should have these four qualities, da, 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 and then you go through. And I know a couple of the groups asked a question about whether you could have one person who exemplified two of the traits. You know, we're not deep. I'm fine with that. We were looking for four, but if you want to do two or one, we'll just run with it. Then at the end, we'll let the class select the best coach, the team with the best coach. So you have to listen up. Think beyond yourselves, because I know you think yours is the best, but think beyond yourself. You know, if you say, you know, a great coach should be jolly like Santa Claus, you probably won't get too many points for that and those kinds of things. So think beyond yourself, you know, selfless service. And so we'll get started. We'll get started with look at here. We got a volunteer. All right. Now, how are we going to list the groups? How are we going to, Minister Linda, help me. How are we going to list the groups? We'll just, whoever presents.
Yeah.
Okay.
The first, whoever presents, that's team one.
Okay. All right.
Then next is team two.
So team one, any volunteers? All right. Willie, and then Xantha is team two. Willie, bring it on.
Good morning, team. He said we could stay in our spot. So team one, I got the diva team. I got Miss Abigail, Miss Ann, and I also have Miss Loretta. So you know them divas, the diva team. And so, but look who we chose. We chose Coach Nick Saban. And we said that he's humble and confident. He has a swagger style where he can be very humble with winning and success, but very aggressive when media situations take place. He listens to the point of view of others. That's his assistant coaches. Even though the final results rest on him, he always listens to other people. He is free with listening to others' point of view and letting them carry it out. He's confident. He thinks team first. He's very concerned about his team. So that's our third point. He always gives his team the credit for winning. He uses the phrase quite often that they bought in. He uses that phrase. I'm trying to move up. And my thing's not moving up. Okay. That's fine. And then the fourth component was influence. We watched him nationally win in success, and he his influence impacted how he was successful in winning championships as well as developing teams. He also takes his teams to his lake house. This is one of his little perks that he does. So that's an influence. You got your coach taking you to the lake house to kick it and fish and stuff. So the team buy into all of that stuff. So that's a very influential component. He trusts in his players, and he helps them get to the next level. A lot of his team players go to the NFL. So a lot of people buy into the Nick Saban system because he helps you be successful. That's it. Did I do good?
All right. Okay, so we chose Nick Saban, and all the four traits were in Nick.
Correct.
All right, okay. We go. Yeah. We had some Bama fans back there, so roll tide.
My group consists of Christopher and the Arnolds. Rogers, I'm sorry, the Rogers. Well, they're one and the same. Okay, we took a slightly different approach to our four traits. One, we said that a leader is caring. And the saying, I don't care how much you know until I know how much you care, is very important with the leader, because I personally, dealing with someone that doesn't care for me, it's kind of difficult to follow that person. And our example was Coach Nick Saban.
Okay.
Our second trait was a great thinker. A leader should be a great thinker because they're innovative, creative, they embrace change. And the person that we thought exemplifies that most is Minister Jermaine.
Wow.
Also, we thought that a trait for a great leader is being influential. And influence can be contagious. And that could be positive or negative. And we chose President Obama as our example because who thought in our lifetime that we would have an African-American president? And at one time, we thought we all could just do anything because of his slogan, yes, we can. And D, our fourth trait was a good leader covers the people under them. And as a leader, your people will come to you with all kinds of information, and you have to be able to assist them with that information, but keep it confidential. And our example for a leader that covers is Minister Cunningham.
Very good.
Oh, okay. Amen. We chose four as well.
Can you tell me who's in your group?
Yes, absolutely. Dr. Angela, Minister Connie, and the Gages, and myself. We came up with four as well. The first one was caring, and same slogan that Xantha used, we used as well. People don't care how much you know, but how much you care. And that person we chose, our famous people we chose were Among Us, and so it was Minister Connie. We thought that he was a very caring person. The second one we chose was knowledgeable. One of the traits of a great coach should be knowledge or very knowledgeable. And we chose that person to be Dr. Angela as being very knowledgeable because of a leader needs to be a lifelong learner. A lifelong learner, and not only a lifelong learner, but able to communicate what they learn to their people to elevate them up to a certain level as well. The third one was we thought that a coach should be a person of integrity, and our person for that was Minister A.C. Roper, and we thought that this person has to be totally, if people are going to totally commit, they must trust and believe that you will do what's right. And so that's what we chose, integrity. And then the fourth person, or the fourth thing we chose was confident, bold, and y'all can probably guess who we chose with that one. Yeah, okay. No, I mean, I am confident and bold, but it wasn't me. We chose Miss Pete because she's not afraid to step out on what she believes. And she is not afraid to be ridiculed in an environment of ungodliness. And so she's bold. So that's why those were our four.
Very good.
Team five. Myself,
team four,
myself, Willie, Minister Nay, Cortland, Blaine. Because my name was used in all those negative connotations, you remember all those examples? being all over the place, not following the rules. That's exactly what we're doing. We got 5 traits.
That's good.
Gotta stay with the theme. We got lead by example, motivational, a good listener, a good communicator, and understands personnel or connects well with groups. And the lead by example, yeah, we used Nick Saban also. I was definitely not a Nick Saban fan, but the majority rule, so Nick Saban. And then we said Minister Arnold. That was lead by example. Motivational, we said President Barack, Alonda Yohill, and John Maxwell. Good listener, Michael Kay and Angela Hill. Good communicator, Michael Kay again, and Inger Triggs. Understanding personnel and connect well with groups, we said A.C. Roper and Cortland Terry. And so, you know, selecting the best coach, we said that that person is still in the oven. They still baking. So we didn't have a best. We just...
You just did it your way.
There you go.
That's good. Very thoughtful.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
With the Fabulous Five, with beautiful Barbara, amazing Antoinette, joyful Judy, and bright Brenda. And myself. They call me terrific. All right, we have, as coaching traits, we have patience. Patience is important because it takes time to develop a person, and that person that's being developed has to feel comfortable in being developed and not feel rushed. And a person that we thought exemplified patience is Minister Connie. The next trait that we thought was important for a coach to have is to be sensitive, caring. That trait is important because the coach needs to be able to be sensitive to the individual that they're coaching, being not only sensitive to that individual, but their needs, their personality, as well as their job duties. And the person that we felt exemplified that was Ms. Inger Triggs. A coach also has to be knowledgeable. John C. Maxwell, we thought, was very knowledgeable in the area of leadership. That is important. For a coach to be knowledgeable in whatever the area is that he's coaching someone in. Because when a coach is knowledgeable, it also motivates the person that he's coaching, but it also helps the person to trust their coach. And the fourth trait is confident. The person we felt that exemplified that was Michelle Obama. She, a coach has to be confident in knowing that sharing the information that they're giving out, that they're not losing anything when they do that. So a coach has to be confident in knowing that I'm imparting something into someone else, but I'm not diminishing myself in any way.
That's good. Wow.
Yes. Our team had Chandrika, Andrea, Lorenzo, myself, and Vincent. We had 4. We chose lead by example, great communicator, a servant leader, and dedication. For our lead by example trait, we chose Michelle Obama because she not only teaches the nation and has an expectation for the nation to work on their health and nutrition, but she demonstrates that and shows that in her household and how she leads her family. We believe it's important because the people following benefit from a visual example and not just being told what to do. For great communicator, our team chose Minister Germain. He's very detailed, thorough, he's clear, he's concise, and everybody knows when he's finished what's expected. This is important because the people following need to be well-informed and educated on the direction and mission that is to be accomplished. For servant leadership trait, we had a tie. Jesus and Martin Luther King.
Wow. A tie. Do we have a runoff? Do we have a runoff then?
I know, we just couldn't get it worked out. That was Andrea. She is set on Martin Luther. Okay, well, for Jesus, obviously Jesus, he served his disciples. He washed their feet and he demonstrated servant leadership. And Martin Luther, of course, Andrea has expressed that he was a saint. And servant leadership is important because it lets the followers know that the leader cares about them and that they're compassionate about those that are following them. And so it's another form of an example. Dedication. We chose Joyce Meyer because she's very dedicated to her mission, the local and global cause. She meets people's physical, spiritual, mental, emotional needs, and it's evident what she does, both locally and globally. A leader needs to be dedicated to the cause that they're leading because followers get demotivated by leaders who lack dedication to the cause that they are supposed to be in charge of or spearheading. And that was ours.
All right. Very insightful.
Praise the Lord, saints. Our definition of a coach is someone that influences behavior, is a great listener.
Hold up.
Oh, on my team, I had the beautiful Deborah Blaylock, Tiffany Moore, and Wilma Thomas, and myself. Okay. Our definition of a coach is someone that influences behavior, is a great listener, excellent communicator, and challenges your thinking to develop your skills, abilities, and performance. We chose Oprah Winfrey as influences behavior. This is important because people need to be motivated to move to the next level. Connie Blaylock is, again, a great listener. This is important in order to develop a person. You must actually hear them. Jermaine Spann, again, is a great communicator. This is important because people need clear and concise communication to accomplish the goal. And we chose Suze Orman because she challenges the thinking of people. And this is important because people must think outside of their current environment in order to reach their full potential.
Very good.
I've been trying. Team 8. Who do we appreciate? No. Okay. Okay, my team members is Ronnie, Vi, Michael K, and David Curry. And our 4 traits was influence, develop others, knowledgeable, and visionary. And let's see, I'm left-handed. Okay, the famous person we chose for influence was Oprah. You'll be limited to what you can accomplish in life if you can't get others to help you. So that's why influence, we felt it was important. The person we chose for develop others was John Maxwell. If you don't, oh, okay, Ronnie, what's that word right there? If you don't develop others, your legacy will die with you. Okay. All right, I'm sorry. Okay. Knowledgeable, Condoleezza Rice is the person we chose. And knowledgeable, you being knowledge, you earn respect. You being knowledgeable. The other person we chose for the trait visionary is Bill Gates. Without being or not being a visionary, you will become irrelevant. And that was what we had.
Nine. Good morning. Our team chose Leanne Tui.
Can you tell us who's in your team?
Oh, I'm sorry. Inger, Karen, Stephanie, and Michelle, and myself. And we chose Leanne Tui, and one team member said, you got to think about her husband as well, because she didn't do what she did by herself. So if you ever seen The Blind Side, she would have been the mother in that movie. That movie was based off a real story, a real life story. So the traits that we chose were to be a great leader, you have to be wise. So you have to be smart, insightful, have experience, and think differently. So that's what we consider wise. And we chose that one because you need knowledge and wisdom to guide others. We chose courageous. In order to be courageous, you got to be brave, caring, and passionate. And we chose that one because a great coach got to have the strength to make unpopular decisions, to kind of go into the unknown areas, because leadership is abnormal. So the third trait was relational. You have to be supportive and be able to connect with others. And we felt that was important because if you're not able to connect with people, you really can't gain their trust. They won't. They need genuineness. So the last trait was loyal. So you have to be committed and dedicated. People have to know that you're committed to their success and not just giving them a task, a list of things to do. They have to know that you're committed. And so we chose her because she coached, his name was Michael Orr. She coached him into being a better person. She helped embrace the hidden potentials and talents that he had. And Michael Orr was an NFL player. He was offensive tackle, and he was a five-star recruit and All-American honor. So she helped him pull out hidden potential.
Okay. Hello. Good morning. Team 10 consists of yours truly, Michelle, the aforementioned and all-star team member Jermaine Spann, well as our new recruit Drew, and I don't see Linda Arnold. Here, she stepped out. So, great team. We chose, I'll give you the traits first and then give you the people attached. We chose loyalty, integrity. We chose that a coach is disciplined, and we chose perseverance. Not really a plug on our speaker, but not really thinking, we chose the armed forces for loyalty. If you think about it, loyalty is a trait. You have to want to be loyal. And so they have to choose to be in harm's way. We really couldn't think of a better overt or initial role model for integrity other than Pastor Mike. So, I mean, just come on, y'all. I mean, really. For discipline, I think we actually may have more of a tie, just saying. For discipline, we chose Coach Phil Jackson because of course, of his success with the Lakers. And we chose Michael Jackson, his brother, for for those of you who may have seen the movie, This Is It, there was Michael was very detailed a lot of times, often in things that he heard or wanted. He was very detailed. I won't get into detail on that. For perseverance, we actually chose Martin Luther King for somewhat obvious reasons. Throughout the entire course of the Civil Rights Movement, although there were many who assisted him, he was, we say he was the chosen leader. He may not have chosen himself. We don't know. We weren't there. But he obviously took on the role and through all of what he went through, still continued on course. And that is something that does take a certain gumption to do, especially in adversity. And that is our report today.
Team 11, praise the Lord. We don't have any special names or anything like that. We just, but we do have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John right here. Still, our communication traits that we have are, Oh, I'm sorry, that's not Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. It's Sharonita, Mike, Miriam, and Eric. Amen. He had to leave. Our first trait is to be a great communicator. Our second trait is to be a great model. Our next trait is to be a person of integrity. Our next trait is to be a super motivator. So we chose Nick Saban. And another leadership quality, a great leadership quality, is to allow people to make suggestions without fear of retribution. So I have to say that I was a good leader in that situation. Praise the Lord, saints. But the reason we chose him as a great communicator, he has the ability to communicate while sending a message to all levels around him. When he speaks, he understands he is talking to multiple groups at the same time, and he thinks through it. Second, as a model, he is known as a great worker. He's known as one of the hardest workers in his profession as it relates to coaching. The third trait is obviously integrity. He has an unyielding position on integrity as it relates to the job that he does and just the overall atmosphere that he works in. And the fourth area is to be a great motivator. His disposition tends to motivate at all times. His whole disposition is to motivate. And that's whether he is being compassionate or being passionate, because he is a person of passion. And the other point that we have is his emphasis is on finishing the task, not doing it halfway. He developed leaders through coaches going on to become head coaches, not just developing players to be professional players.
Would team one, Willie, will you stand? Team two, Xantha, will you stand? Team three, Minister Alundia, would you stand? Team four, Minister Joe, would you stand? And team five, Miss Terry. Oh, okay. Team six, Karen. Team seven, Cecilia. Team 8, Sharon. Team 9, Lakeisha. Team 10, KT. And team 11, Pastor Byron. All right. So we're going to choose a winner. How you want to do this, Minister AC?
Applause.
Applause. All right. Don't cheat now just because you want your team to win. All right. All for team 1, they said Nick Saban. Team 1, let's give a shout. Okay, team 2, Ms. Xantha, they picked people here in the, they chose Nick Saban, Minister Jermaine, for a great thinker, influential, President Barack Obama, and covers the people, Minister Cunning. I want to say, when they said great thinker, Minister Jermaine, you know what to do because that's your boss. But anyway, just a little humor, just a little humor. You smart woman, smart team. Team two, let's give a shout out. Okay, team three, Minister Alundio. And they talked about Dr. Angela as being knowledgeable, Minister A.C. Roper as a person of integrity, Ms. Pete being bold and confident, and Minister Connie as caring. Let's give a shout out for Team 3 if you think they're the best team. Help me keep up with this 2 and 3 kind of running neck and okay. All right, Team 4, Minister Joe, they did not lead by example, and they gave they did over and above. They did over and above, and they talked about Nick Saban leading by example, motivational. I don't know if that was Minister Arnold. Okay, and then Minister Alundio was... Motivational, okay. Inger and Michael K were great communicators, and Minister A.C. Roper and Cortland really understood people. Let's give a shout out for team. Team 5, Terry Smith, for patience. Minister Connie for sensitive, Minister Inger for knowledgeable and confident. Michelle Obama. Knowledgeable was John Maxwell, and confidence was Michelle Obama. A round of applause for Team 5. Team 6 was Karen. For lead by example, they had Michelle Obama, a great communicator, Minister Jermaine. You can tell the people that really report to Minister. they had a tie for servant leadership, Jesus and Martin Luther King. And dedication was Joyce Meyer. Let's give a round of applause for Team 6. All right, Team 7, Cecilia, and they talked about influence, influence of behavior, communication, and I didn't get the rest. Oh. Yeah. She's gone. Okay. All right, let's give a round of applause for Team 7. Again, that leader transitioned from Minister Jermaine to HR. Ooh, Team 8, Sharon Charlie. They said a person of influence was Oprah. Developing others, John Maxwell. Knowledgeable, Condoleezza Rice. And a visionary, Bill Gates. Let's give a round of applause for Team 8. Who do you appreciate? Team 9, Lakeisha, they said Leanne Tui. She was wise, insightful, courageous, relational, thought differently, and they were loyal. So let's give a round of applause for Team 9. Team 10, KT, loyalty was the armed forces, integrity, Pastor Mike, discipline, Phil Jackson and his brother, Michael Jackson, and perseverance, Martin Luther King. Let's give a round of applause for Team 10. And last but certainly not least, Team 11, Nick Saban was their person. They said he was a communicator, modeled integrity, a super motivator. Let's give a round of applause for Team 11. Minister AC, I'm going to let you do the announcement of the winner.
Okay, we're gonna have a vote off. Team 2, 3, and 10. I want baby eat. All right, all for team two.
Team two, would you stand, the team leader for team two? That was Miss Xantha.
Anybody for team two? All right. Team three. Anybody
Minister
for team
Landio.
Three?
And team 10.
You said they doing it all. Well, it looks like team 10 pulled themselves across the finish line.
Way to do it. Way to do it. Team 10, you will receive a $25 gift certificate, and we will have that to you by the end of the week, individually. Each person, $25 gift certificate.
Wow. See, now some people are saying, if I had known, I would have put more into it. All right. I thought it was quite interesting that out of the 11 groups, the first group started with Coach Saban as the sole model of those characteristics. And then the last group ended with Coach Saban, which is really interesting. Regardless of whether you're an Alabama fan or not, it's obvious that his leadership style, his communication style, the results, the discipline, the way he's driven to succeed. When you read about him, you find out that a lot of coaches can't work for him that long because it's intense. 3-4 years, they move on and they take what they've learned and they go and get developed and do some other things with it. So it's really interesting that he has really impacted the component of leadership like he has, and people recognize him as a proven leader from sports. But the traits that he exemplifies applies to life. And so, good job by all of you. Give yourselves a big round of applause. What I want to do now is, which is really interesting because I was not expecting Coach Saban to dominate the traits like he did, but in essence, I really did do expect that. So I'm going to show a football clip, but it won't be Alabama. It won't be Alabama because Pastor Byron threatened me, and if I played anything of Alabama. So we're going to show just a 6-minute clip from the movie a lot of you have seen, titled Facing the Giants. Just a little clip about some practice that they were doing and the coach and how he motivated them. Look at it from the sports part is not even that important. Look at it from a leadership perspective and what he's trying to accomplish. And then we'll discuss it afterwards.
Show me something. 10 yards. Move it. Let's go, Matt. Let's go, Jonathan. Show me something. 10 yards. Show me some power. No knees. Keep your knees off the ground. Show me something. There you go. 10 yards. Show me some muscle. Show me some power. Give me some heart. Let's go. Very good, boy. Very good. Let's run it back.
Oh, man. Boy. Oh, man. It's not even funny, dude.
So, Coach, how strong is Westview this year?
A lot stronger than we are.
You already written Friday night down as a loss, Brock?
Well, not if I know we could beat them.
Come here, Brock. You too, Jeremy.
What, am I in trouble now?
Not yet. I want to see you do the death crawl again, except I want to see your absolute best.
What, you want me to go to the 30?
I think you can go to the 50.
50. I can go to the 50 if nobody's on my back.
I think you can do it with Jeremy on your back. But even if you can, I want you to promise me you're going to do your best.
All right.
Your best.
Okay.
You going to give me your best?
I'm going to give you my best.
All right, one more thing. I want you to do it blindfolded.
Why?
Because I want you giving up at a certain point when you can go further. Get down. Jeremy, get on his back. I get a good tight hold, Jeremy. All right, let's go, Brock. Keep your knees off the ground, just your hands and feet. There you go. A little bit left, a little bit left. There you go. Show me good effort. That way, Brock. You keep coming. There you go. It's a good start. A little bit left, a little bit left. There you go, Brock. Good strength. That's it, Brock. That's it.
Am I at the 20 yet?
Forget the 20. You give me your best. You keep going. That's it. No, don't stop, Brock. You got more in you than that.
I ain't done. I'm just resting a second.
You got to keep moving. Let's keep moving. Let's go. Don't quit till you got nothing left. There you go. Keep moving. Keep moving. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving it. Your very best. Your very best. Your very best. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. Don't quit on me. Keep going. Keep driving it. Keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. That's it. Your very best. Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving it. Don't quit till you got nothing left. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. I want everything you got. Come on, keep going.
It hurts.
Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go.
He's heavy.
I know he's heavy.
I'm by his strength.
Then you negotiate with your body to find more strength, but don't you give up on me, Brock. You keep going. You hear me? You keep going. You're doing good. You keep going. Do not quit on me. You keep going.
It hurts.
I know it hurts. You keep going. You keep going. It's all hard from here. 30 more steps. You keep going, Brock. Come on. Keep going.
Burn.
And let it burn.
My arms are burning.
It's all hard. You keep going, Brock. Come on. Come on. Keep going. You promised me your best. Your best. Don't stop. Keep going.
Too hard.
It's not too hard. You keep going. Come on, Brock. Give me more. Give me more. Keep going. 20 more steps. 20 more. Keep going, Brock. Give me your best. Don't quit. No. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Brock Kelly, you don't quit. Keep going. Keep going. Go, Brock Kelly. You don't quit on me. No, you keep going. You keep going. Go, Brock. 10 more steps. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. Keep going. Don't quit. Give me your heart.
I can't do it.
You can. You can. 5 more. 5 more. Come on, Brock. Come on. Don't quit. Don't quit. Come on, Brock. 2 more. 1 more.
It's got to be 50. It's got to be 50. Oh, how many more?
Look up, Brock. You're in the end zone. Brock, you are the most influential player on this team. If you walk around defeated, so will they. Don't tell me you can't give me more than what I've been seeing. You just carried a 140-pound man across this whole field in your arms. Brock, I need you. God's gifted you with the ability of leadership. Don't waste it.
Coach?
Can I count on you?
Yes.
Coach?
What is it, Jeremy?
I weigh 160.
It's not the sports that we're looking at. It's the coaching. So as you looked at that, as you looked at that 6-minute clip, what came to mind from a coaching perspective, a leadership perspective? What did the coach do that was impressive?
He was
Ooh, that's good. So the coach walked the path with the player or with the employee?
He saw something in him that he couldn't even really see himself pulling it out.
Oh, boy. So back in the beginning, we talked about a key, the number one skill of leadership is developing others. So the coach saw something in Brock that Brock didn't see.
It's like he shielded him from the distractions that would hinder him from doing what it was that he needed him to do.
Shielded him from the distractions. Oh, that's good. That would stop him and hinder him from accomplishing what he needed to accomplish. Just pass the mic around, hands flying up all over the place. All right.
The coach didn't let fear of the situation, whether the boy would have a health issue or whatever. He didn't let fear enter in any area. He just kept on motivating him to do better.
Kept the fear out.
He was repetitious. He didn't just tell him once that he could do it. He said it over and over and over again.
Wow, repetition, the key to learning.
He cheered him on.
Cheered him
told
on.
He could do it.
So as leaders, we're all leaders, we have to cheer him on.
When he blindfolded him, he took the limits off. So he didn't know that it was going to be a field that's going to go far or whatever. So it blinded his mind about any limitations that he had.
That's good. Blindfolded him so he wouldn't be contained and limited by what he saw out there. Okay?
He reminded him of a commitment that he made to him, that he would give him his best.
Reminded him of a commitment. Oh, these are some leadership wisdom pearls that you all are pulling out of a 6-minute clip.
He showed him the impact of what he did, what he accomplished. At the end, he told him realistically everything that happened.
Wow.
And that he pulled a 140-pound man across the field and just basically helped him to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Helped 160, him to see excuse it. Me.
160.
I also saw that he pulled, there were two things.
The coach validated his leadership ability and his strength in front of all his teammates.
Wow. Validated him in front of his teammates.
He sees the opportunity. Before that situation happened, that wasn't something that was planned out, but he saw an opportunity based off of what happened, and he sees the opportunity.
That's good. Teaching moment.
He actually went beyond the coach's expectation in the drill because he pulled a young man that was 160 pounds. So he actually achieved even more than the goal that the coach even had in mind to teach him by taking him beyond what he even was able to do.
Oh, that's good. Went even further than the coach even realized.
It's kind of connected to Pastor Byron's, but he didn't eliminate the pressure. He added pressure on his back and let him know that he can do it in the midst of pressure. You can still do it. So I saw that.
In the midst of pressure, you can still move forward and accomplish what God has called you to do.
The coach fully expected pain and obstacle or challenge, but didn't let the pain or the obstacle or challenge stop them from persevering.
Oh, very, very, very good.
Thanks, guys. It was an object lesson to me in loyalty on the part of the player or the employee, and an object lesson in perseverance on the part of the coach. That's what.
An object lesson in perseverance. Okay. Very good point. And let's talk about trust for just a moment because it's a two-way street. So the player had to trust the coach to allow himself to be blindfolded, put a kid on his back, and start crawling. And then the coach had to trust the player because what if he had just fallen out on the 10-yard line and what that would have done to the team? So that trust went both ways. Which way'd that microphone go? You got it? Okay, we're good. One more.
Sorry, just came up. The coach was not nice. The method that he used, he wasn't trying to be mean, but the method that the coach used to get him to keep going, he wasn't gentle, he was forceful. Mm. And he kept the player on point. The player didn't get offended. He kept going, but the coach was forceful.
Mm. I'm going to use the term focused. Kept the player focused on what? I mean, he was in his ear. You can do this. And as it got tougher, come on, Brock, you can do it. Come on, Brock, you can do it. But let me ask you this. What did the episode, what did that event do to the other players who were watching? So it set a standard, I heard. It motivated them.
I think it gave them another level. He said that, the coach said that he was the most influential person on the team. So it gave them another level of respect for that guy. So the coach, to me, knew that. He validated him in front of everybody because he knew his strength and he wouldn't mm-hmm. give up. And so I think for the team, they just went to another level of respect for the guy.
That's good. That's good. Yes, ma'am. Wow, very good.
I think it allowed him to gain a coach on the field in the actual game because now if he needs something done in the game, he can just talk to Brock and Brock can make sure the rest of the players get done on the field.
Yes, 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 sir.
And he helped them to see they can do the impossible.
They can do the impossible. All right, remember. Yes, ma'am.
He showed them.
Show them what they can accomplish if they give their very best. He almost established a contract. He said, you're going to give me your best. Yeah. No, give me your best. Establish that. You give me your best, then we're going to walk this thing out. And they were extremely successful in that clip. Minister Melinda mentioned something about he validated that player. Remember earlier when we talked about leadership being a position? Right? That's authority given from above. Someone has designated you or promoted you into a certain position. But we also said leadership is a choice. And that's what's given from the bottom up, that moral authority. And I gave the example of 50 cents. Pastor, you missed that part, but I had a soldier many, many years ago when I was a 19-year-old second lieutenant, nicknamed 50 cents. Asked him why they called him that. He said, because I ain't worth 50 cents. But all the soldiers listened to him. He had influence. No rank, no title, but he could get soldiers to do things. And so I had to work with 50 cents. And I would say, 50, I need these barrels moved. 50, so give me 5 soldiers. They'll show up and they'll get everything done. So what the coach did in the clip by validating that player, now he has an even stronger leader on the team that may not have rank and titles and positions, but he has another sphere of influence. Another sphere of influence that can help him and assist him in accomplishing the team's goals. So in the units that you lead, the functions, the offices, the sections, the ministries, you have to identify who those informal leaders are. And when you do that, you're now leveraging your leadership ability. You have to identify who those informal leaders are on your team. If you're leading a ministry, see, in student ministry, there are some kids who are just, you know, there's the age-old debate. Are leaders born or are they made? At times, there's a combination of both. But there are some kids who have an innate ability that other kids just flock to. There's all types of power out there. There's different levels of power. There's authoritative power. There's coercive power. There's reward power. But there's also charismatic power. And there are some kids out there that when they walk in the room lights up. Now, since you're over that ministry, you have to identify those kids and help those kids, let those kids assist you in accomplishing what you need to accomplish. Does that make sense? In your ministries, there are some people out there that are just natural. They don't have titles, may not even want a title. But when they speak, it's like E.F. Hutton. Everybody listens. And so we have to identify them. We have to coach them, like we saw in the clip, validate them, get buy-in, as we said about Nick Saban earlier. Someone said that he always used the term, they bought into it. Who said that? One of the briefers. Will said that. That's right. So we want to get them to buy in to what we're trying to accomplish, the vision, the mission, the assignment, and then leverage them and their abilities. It's absolutely priceless. Absolutely priceless. All right, what your team needs. As we wrap up, we'll close right here. And if Pastor allows me to come back next month, we'll finish it up. We'll finish up. So your team needs to be inspired every day. They need to be inspired. And when you go back to that little clip we saw, that was inspirational. Because I was watching some of you. You were sitting on the edge of your seat. You were starting to cheer him on. And then when he made it across the end zone, a couple of you clapped. So your team needs to be inspired every day. So next time we'll talk about vision a little bit and some of the things we can do to inspire our team. Then secondly, they need to be encouraged. They need to be encouraged. There's a lot out there that's discouraging. From literally, turn on the news. There's a lot that's discouraging. When it comes to ministry and what God has called us to do, we want to encourage all the time. No matter how it looks, whether it's painful, that was painful. You know, it was tough. It was hard. The kid started crying, but he wanted to give his best. We want to continue to encourage. And then thirdly, they need to be challenged. They need to be challenged. People want to be a part of something that's bigger than them. It's true. They really do. They want to be a part of something that's bigger than them. I think God puts that innate quality in us where it draws us to something that's bigger. It draws us to Him, but it also draws us to visions. That who wants to be a part of a vision that's, you know, I give an hour to it next week and it's done. That doesn't motivate, it doesn't inspire. But people want to be a part of something that's bigger than them. And anything that's bigger than us is going to be challenging. But that's the fun part about it. Because we have a God who's bigger than every challenge. And if we just tap into Him and His wisdom, we'll be good to go. So I've got to close right here. And I'll just simply say I appreciate hanging out with you all for these few hours. We covered a lot of ground, got a lot to cover. Not just coaching, because I believe there was other leadership pearls that was thrown all out. Maybe a few from here, but a lot from you all. Just talking about the quality and traits of a good coach, dissecting the video, and all of those type things. A couple of you mentioned some of the examples that I used earlier, made it so vivid and practical what we're trying to express to you. And I think that's vitally important. And so I want you to take one thing from today. If someone asks you, if I see you and I ask you, give me one thing, you got to give me one thing. Even if it's, I remember you said we're hurting cats. You got to give me one thing. You got to give me one thing. You got to give me one thing. So Thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity to speak to the staff on the day. Minister Melinda, thank you for coordinating. Let me give a shout out to the AV team and the technology team, because they hooked it all up. They made it all work some kind of way, made it all work. We also want to talk about next month. Let's talk about coachability. Not just coaching, but being coachable. Because you'll never be a good coach until you're coachable. Amen? Amen. All right. Minister Melinda, I'll turn it over to you.